Hello, I'm Josh Fennett, standing in for Andrew Tuck today, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. On today's episode, Monocle's Chris Chermak assesses the evolution of a space left behind after the World Trade Center attacks in New York as we approach the 20th anniversary of the tragedy.
There's one couple wiping away tears, another placing flowers. A few are scrolling through the 2,983 names, looking for someone inscribed on the bronze parapets that surround the waterfalls. But there are also tourists, and those taking pictures. I watch one young couple spend about 10 minutes wandering from corner to corner of the 9/11 memorial, trying to find just the right angle against the sun for the perfect snap. They must have taken about 24 pictures before wandering off again, looking intently at their phone cameras, analyzing the results. Me? I'm standing by the edge, just staring out at the waterfall, the largest man-made waterfall in North America, I might add, which is flowing below me in one of the two footprints of where the Twin Towers once stood. My moment of quiet contemplation is interrupted by a security guard.
Plaza's closing! Plaza's closing! Make your way to the exits!
The Memorial Park, rather oddly, closes at 5 p.m. every day, even though it's essentially an open space in the heart of downtown New York. So I wander out again. There's people sitting on benches and alongside the new World Trade Center shopping plaza, smiling and talking, or just taking in some rays on a sunny day. I know it's a strange thing to say, but for someone like me who remembers September 11th, 2001 so vividly, I was struck by just how normal everything seems. I personally haven't lost anyone in the attacks, but I do like to think of myself as a New Yorker. Well, sort of. My mother was born in Brooklyn, and I have family on Long Island. Even if I haven't lived here since I was 4 years old, New York has always maintained a special place for me growing up. We'd visit most summers. And more than anything else, my fascination with New York extended to baseball. My uncle and grandfather were die-hard New York Yankees fans, and my uncle would take me to games when I was back. But my fascination also extended to the World Trade Center. Like so many New Yorkers, my grandfather worked there for a time. The towers were omnipresent, viewable from so many different points in the city. Just 2 weeks before the September 11th attacks, I remember sitting by the South Street seaport with my parents on a visit to the Big Apple, remarking on the Twin Towers and how they filled the skyline. In the immediate aftermath of the attacks, I particularly remember Mayor Rudy Giuliani doing what mayors do, leading his city through a crisis, and talking of his personal pain and how the city would recover.
I thank God that I'm safe. I feel terrible for the people that we lost, some of whom I talked to just 15 minutes before we lost them. And the city is going to survive. We're going to get through it. It's going to be a very, very difficult time. I don't think we yet know the pain that we're going to feel when we find out who we lost. But the thing we have to focus on now is getting the city through this.
And then, over the past 20 years, I've made a point of heading back to the site of the Twin Towers almost any time I've come back to New York. So, unlike your typical New Yorker, I've watched the site's evolution in stages, a sort of bird's-eye view of the site's development from ground zero to the cleanup operation, to a giant building site, to the beautifully crafted memorial of twin waterfalls, to the incredibly moving memorial museum, and eventually the shiny new skyscrapers and shopping malls. Each trip has felt emotional in a different way. It's almost like I've parachuted into the different stages of grief, offering a window into how a city and its people cope with a loss, then recover, and eventually, with time, go about their daily lives with the event a more distant memory. I remember the shock, anger, and defiance most in the early stages, when George W. Bush visited Ground Zero.
I can hear you! I can hear you! The rest of the world hears you! And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down...
The denial and pain stages came for me when I visited Ground Zero for the first time after the attacks. I remember being dumbstruck by just the emptiness of it, the sheer amount of space in the heart of a city, a place that was once so bustling and busy and alive. On the 10th anniversary, I took one of the many tours of the site organized at the time by survivors and victims' family members. You might call this the first stage of recovery. For many of these guides, offering tours and talking through their personal experiences with perfect strangers was cathartic, a form of healing. I'm not sure I could talk through something so personal that has happened to me, but I admired these people for telling their stories to a new generation of visitors to New York, keeping the memory alive. A few years later, the memory of that day was finally immortalized with the opening of a beautifully crafted memorial in the footprints of the Twin Towers. Visiting that space for the first time, I was moved to tears. My own stage of acceptance, I guess, even if I hadn't lost anybody personally. And then, when I first visited the 9/11 memorial about 4 years ago, suddenly it had shifted to a whole other level that doesn't even really count on the stages of grief. 9/11 had become history. I'll never forget the sight of a father explaining to his curious child the memories of that day. It was the first time I'd been to a museum of an event that I'd lived through and still remember so vividly, the first experience of seeing a seminal event pass from being a current event to a historical memory. And then there was 2 weeks ago. This time it was the most developed I'd ever seen it. I arrived in the newly built World Trade Center station and the all-white, all-shiny Westfield shopping mall that surrounds it. From there I emerged up an escalator into a fully rebuilt plaza, bar one still pending skyscraper, to see everyone going about their business. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. It's not like I expected everyone to walk by the memorial site with their heads down in quiet contemplation or grief. Life for any city does go on. We rebuild, and rightly so. And as we look ahead to the 20th anniversary of 9/11 on Saturday, I guess all we can hope for is that the memory of the seminal moments of a city are best preserved for an old and new generation alike to experience. I think anyone who's visited the site of the 9/11 Memorial and Museum will agree. New York has done an impressive job of that.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production, and our thanks to Chris Chermack for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Josh Fennett. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.